Let's pray. Father God, I pray this morning that by the power of your word and by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would create new hearts in some of us, and that you would cause in us, others of us, to be transformed more into the image of Christ. And I ask this for your glory in his name. Amen. You may be seated. If you haven't done so already, please open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. If you need a Bible, there's some in the pews. You can find this on page number 1162 in your pew Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 12 this morning. Well, it's been our focus here for the last 7 weeks to think and pray about mission and evangelism, and about being a witness for Jesus Christ to this world and this culture in which we've been placed. Last week we thought about the message that we are to share, a message that was summarized from Romans 1 as the message about Jesus Christ, who is fully man and fully God, who is both Savior and Lord, and who as such calls all people to the obedience of faith. Well, now this week our focus shifts to how then we share that message. So in other words, what are our methods for gospel telling or for witnessing to people about Jesus Christ? Well, let me just let you know straight away here this morning that as we speak about method, that I don't really have any great practical tips or any fancy gimmicks to help you become a better witness for Jesus Christ. One, because I don't really know any, and two, because frankly, I don't think that's what the church at large is most in need of. And the church in this country is not dying because it's in need of some more hot tips on evangelism. You must know that the issue is much more serious than that. And so rather, what I want to look at with you this morning are some fundamental issues about our identity as Christians and fundamental issues about the nature of the gospel and how the nature of the gospel impacts and determines the methods we are allowed to use in evangelism. And I say allowed to use because not every method, no matter how well-intentioned, is a gospel-shaped, God-glorifying method. Just as the message we are to share is to be God's message, so too the methods we are to use in order to share that message must be God's biblically prescribed methods. And this morning, as we look at 2 Corinthians 4, we see that our fundamental method is simply this: to engage in the work of witnessing about Jesus Christ as people who have a priceless, beautiful, unsurpassed, eternal, glorious treasure in a frail, weak, decaying, unattractive, unremarkable jar of clay. That is, it is a method that is humble, honest, self-denying, self-effacing, and Christ-exalting, in order that a blind and dying world may see the truth of the gospel and live, and all so that God alone receives the glory. This method is summarized for us in our passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and in verse 7, where the Apostle Paul writes this: "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." So that's going to be our guiding verse this morning. So let's look first at what this treasure is, and then secondly, at how we as jars of clay are to glorify God by relying on him. So what is this treasure in verses 7? Well, look at verses 1 to 6 with me. "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So again, what is this treasure in verse 7? Well, in context, it is the gospel and it is the ministry of the gospel. Now, Paul has just said in verse 6 that God, who created light in this physical universe, does the same kind of light-creating work spiritually for unbelievers. He shines truth and understanding into their blind, sinful hearts so that they can know him. And so Paul says, God has shown in our hearts, our sinful, blind, unbelieving hearts, in order to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. At the end of verse 4, Paul described this light as the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And so in short, this treasure that we have is the very gospel of the glory of Christ with its light and life-giving power. Jesus told a parable once, describing the kingdom of God, the place where Christ reigns in his glory, to be like a treasure that was hidden in a field. And when it was found, it caused the man who found it to go and in his joy, Jesus said, sell everything that he had in order to buy that field and obtain that treasure. I wonder this morning, are you able to identify with that man? Is the glory of God in Jesus Christ the all-consuming passion and joy of your life? Because before anything else in evangelism is the issue of what do we treasure most? Your desire for and your pursuit of the glory of Christ as the supreme treasure in your life. Friend, that is prior to and it is far more important than any method of evangelism that I can give you. If you passionately pursue that treasure, fighting for it, joyfully selling all to get it, you might be surprised at how much God will use you as an effective evangelist and witness for Jesus Christ. Because what will happen is your gospel telling will become an overflow out of your love for this treasure. And that's the way it should be. That's the beginning of a gospel-shaped, God-glorifying, genuine evangelism. Look with me again at chapter 4, verse 7. Not only do we have this treasure of the glory of Christ, which brings light and life, but we have it, we're told, in jars of clay. Jars of clay, that's a description of you and me, and it is not a flattering description. It is a humbling description, which means that as we engage in the work of gospel telling, we do so in humble reliance upon God. We rely upon his means, and we rely upon his might. So first, let's think about the means of God. What are the means that God uses to shine the light of Christ's glory into people's hearts? Well, the primary means is the teaching of the Word of God, the Bible. Look at verse 2. We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's Word. But by the open statement of the truth, that is, the truth of God's Word, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And then look at verse 5. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. So Paul says, look, we don't mess with God's word, right? We don't cut things out of it. We don't add things to it. We don't water it down. We don't philosophize it. We give you an open statement of the truth as God has revealed it in the Bible. And the heart of that truth, the heart of the message of the Bible, is the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. We proclaim Christ. Do you know that when you faithfully share God's word, when you faithfully teach the Bible, that what you are doing is proclaiming the glory of Christ? And it's that proclamation which is the primary means that God, by the Holy Spirit, uses to radically change somebody's heart. Right? Just as God spoke and brought the world into creation, so too when we speak His words, God uses that to shine the light of the glory of the gospel into unbelieving hearts, creating new spiritual life in people. Now, you already know from experience that as glorious and bright as this gospel is that we proclaim, not everyone sees it or believes it or accepts it as a treasure worth prizing. And when that happens, you may be tempted to tweak the message, to try and make it somehow more appealing, or you may especially be tempted to bypass the means of God's word, you know, to make things more entertaining, perhaps. But let me plead with you to resist that temptation, for it is not the message or the means that is faulty. And as Paul says, we give an open statement of the truth, but verse 3, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world, that is Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. You must know that it is a spiritual issue, and only God can open the eyes of the blind to see the truth, beauty, and worth of Jesus Christ. God gives light to whom He gives light. And our job is to keep proclaiming and to remain faithful to God's message and faithful to the means that God uses to bring that message to light in people's hearts. Well, not only do we rely on God's means in our evangelism, but we also rely on God's might. And we do so that He gets all the glory. Look again at our central verse this morning, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. You know, the equivalent of a jar of clay in our time is perhaps something like those flimsy plastic containers that you get all your takeaway food in. Right, you run that thing through the dishwasher enough times and it starts to crack and you have to put it out in the recycling bin. Right, you're not going to take that plastic Tupperware and put it in your china cabinet on display for everybody to see. It's nothing to look at. It's not remarkable. It's not attractive. That's us. We are the cracking plastic containers. We are the weak clay jars. We are not the treasure. The gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ is the treasure, and it is precisely in our weakness that the value and the power and the glory of Christ is seen. Now, I hope that you heard that as a wonderful word of encouragement. Because if you feel completely ill-equipped and below average in your ability to share the gospel, friend, you are closer to the truth than someone who feels self-sufficient and strong and clever. Because we are meant to know that we are only jars of clay. Because when we know that, we begin to rely on God. And when we do so, and He shows Himself to be faithful, He then gets all the glory. But the person who is self-sufficient and self-reliant and who never turns to God actually robs God of the opportunity to meet their needs in their weakness and so receive the glory. And I hope that you can see this, because this is such an essential gospel principle. I mean, almost everything hinges on this. And if we miss this, we will turn Christianity and the church into nothing more than a man-centered morals club. I mean, consider just for a moment. Why do you think it was that God chose to give you light and life? Was it because you were so smart? Was it because you were so good-looking? because you were so articulate? Was it because you were so ethical and virtuous? It's not one of those things. Christian, God chose you to demonstrate His glory through your weakness. That's why those who bring the greatest glory to God are often those who are least impressive by human standards. And that is the way that God has always worked. I mean, why call no-name Abraham and barren Sarah to be the father and mother of your people? I mean, why would God not call the powerful Egyptians instead of their Israelite slaves to be His people? And then why call stuttering Moses to lead that people through the desert? Or why call last in line, adultery-stricken David to be your most faithful king? Or why call some obscure, unwed teenage girl to be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah? Or why call the ultra-Jewish nationalist Paul, who fully admits that he's not a very good communicator, to be your number one missionary to the Gentiles? Why call people like you and like me to share this treasure of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ? It is to show that the all-surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. I mean, this truth just, it permeates the Bible. And it's supremely shown in the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus, God the Son, who made Himself weak, even to the point of giving Himself over to death on a cross. And it was in that moment of what seemed to be the supreme example of weakness and frailty that God demonstrated His perfect justice and His perfect love, putting sin to death even while saving undeserving sinners like you and me. And it is that which we call the gospel of the glory of Christ. And that's the heart of evangelism. Not just what we say, but how we say it. Look at verses 8 to 12. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And all of that is an example of us, says Paul, verse 10, of us always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. Why? So that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. And what Paul's saying is that in the weakness and affliction and constant giving over to death, we serve as a living demonstration to the world of the very death of Christ, which brings life. I mean, that's why Paul says, death is at work in us, but life in you. Again, that's the gospel of the glory of Christ, death bringing life. So there's our method of evangelism. Right? It's not much of a hot tip, and I don't think it's going to be all that popular, but there you go. There's a gospel-shaped method of evangelism. It's weakness, it's self-sacrifice, it's being completely spent so that the power of God and the life of Christ may be proclaimed in order that people might see the worth and beauty of Jesus Christ and then embrace Him as their treasure and live. In your willingness to be servants to a spiritually blind world for Jesus' sake, and in your willingness to be completely spent, you, in all of your frailty, and all of your weakness, and all of your inability, become God's prime exhibit for His power and His glory. The best description of evangelism that I know is the well-known saying that evangelism is simply one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. Friends, that's all it is. But A, you have to be satisfied with the food to tell somebody else about it. And B, you have to know that you're just a beggar too. We have this food, this all-satisfying treasure, the gospel of the glory of Christ. But we only have it in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Let's pray. Father, will you take your word this morning and will you apply it to our hearts? Will you help us, I pray, to see your glory in Jesus Christ? God, will you shine in our hearts? Will you create new life? I ask this in Jesus' name.